Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
You might be a redneck if your kids take a siphon hose to show and tell. You might be a redneck if you've ever financed a tattoo. Now listen close, you might be a redneck if you think a hot tub is a stolen bathroom fixture. I'm gonna give you a minute for that one. A hot tub. You might be a redneck if you prefer car keys to Q-tips. You know what? Now let me tell you something. Y'all are out there ooing. There's not anybody in this room that hadn't done that. I'm just talking in an emergency situation. You might be a redneck if you take a fishing pole into SeaWorld. this is giving me too many ideas. That's the problem. Now I'm going to try to keep going. Just pray for me. You might be a redneck if you think a turtleneck is a key ingredient for soup. You might be a redneck if you think the French Riviera is a foreign car. I think they're funny whether you do or not. I'm having a good time. You might be a redneck if you own a denim leisure suit. Some of you wore those today, obviously. He's like, that's not funny. You might be a redneck if you know how many bales of hay your car will hold. You might be a redneck if you've ever been too drunk to fish. You might be a redneck if hitchhikers won't get in the car with you. That's okay, I'll wait for the next one. You might be a redneck if your mother keeps a spit cup on the ironing board. Oh my goodness. I know these are a little hard on the Christians, but I'm trying to appeal to the non-Christians today. You might be a redneck if you think Don Perignon is a mafia leader. You might be a redneck if you've ever worn a tube top to a wedding. That's not for men, of course. All right, we'll end with this one. You might be a redneck if you've ever cleaned fish in your living room. Whew, aren't we glad those are over? All right, we're going to do a deal called Signs of the Times, and we're going to do yield, I think stop, do not enter, and one way. And hopefully, by the time we get done with this, your driving will change, maybe. And other than that, that when you're driving, there's things in life that if you see them and they trigger things, sometimes it's just a reminder. So I want you to imagine a yield sign. There's a place where I go home, on the way home, where I exit this freeway. Now this is something that makes me not a little crazy, but just a little frustrated. You know how when somebody's on the access road and you exit the freeway, and they got these big old yield signs? That means what? That doesn't mean I'm supposed to stop. That means you're supposed to stop. Or at least slow down and let me in. Well, I've had almost, collisions out there, seeing who's going to, they're going to run into me, I'm going to run into them, who's going to win this little battle. But the point of that sign is, you yield, you slow down, let somebody else go, okay? Now, I think one of the greatest challenges, especially for anybody, but Christians in particular, a daily challenge is God puts these signs in our life and says yield, and we just keep on going. Now, he's not saying stop. He's saying, you let me go first. Let me show you what's going on, and then follow. Yield. And one of the greatest places in Scripture where Jesus said this pretty clearly is, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I'll yield my will, my life, and in a minute you'll see literally my body, if that's what it takes. There's one spot in the Old Testament, that, or at least one place, this is used in a number of places, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 7, says this, and do not be like your fathers and your brethren who trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, so that he gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord. So the opposite, I mean, and you see this again in driving. Somebody's just determined, belligerently saying, I am not going to give way. I'm going to have my way. I'm not going to obey this sign. I'm going to do what I want to do. He says, but yield yourselves to the Lord and enter in his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may be turned away from you. For if you return to the Lord, your brethren and your children will be treated with compassion by those who lead them captive, so that they will come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn his face from you if you return to him. Yield yourselves to the Lord, he says. Now, there's another place where the yielding is not so great, and that's in Proverbs 7. And this is, you know, something straight off of Sally, Jesse, Raphael, basically. But anyhow, Proverbs 7, we'll start with down in verse 6. It's about this woman. It says, for at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. He took the path to her house, the twilight and the evening and the black and dark night. There a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart, and she was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. Isn't that an interesting way to describe a prostitute? Her feet would not stay at home. It's a funny thing how where your feet go, you end up. Now, you're laughing, but if you can't control your body, your feet, if you can just get your feet to be still, your body will probably stay where your feet are. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. Just grabbed this guy and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows, so I came out to meet you. She'd have taken anybody, but he's the one right there. We'll go with you. Diligently to seek your face. Telling this guy, like, you're it, you're the one. You know, he's not Mr. Right, he's just Mr. Right Now. And I have found you. They're coming around over here on this side. She says, I've found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. At least she's honest. When, you know, by morning I'll be done with you, so don't get your hopes up. This isn't a long-term thing. Let's take our fill until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. You know, that should have told the guy something. This is not going to be good. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. Now look at verse 21. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. The kissing him may have gotten something started, but it says here that it was her enticing speech. It was her words. She kept talking to him. It got more exciting. My husband's not home. Now it's going to be adultery, not just, in a, you know, illicit sex. Now it's going to be real risky. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Now guys, there's at least a couple of ways to yield. You can yield to God, and I'm not saying it's always going to be fun, but it's better. Or you can yield to the enemy, to the flesh, and it may be fun till morning. But when morning comes, I mean, it's literally hell to pay. I mean, it cost him his life. Romans chapter 6. Now, I'm going to read through Romans chapter 6, and we might even read the whole thing, and I recommend you go back. If you ever get stumped in the Bible and you say, well, I'm trying to witness somebody, and I don't know where to go to give them a clear presentation of the gospel, this is one of the best places you can go. Open Romans chapter 6 and just start reading. Have them follow you along and just read it to them. It's right here. And this is what Paul says to the Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Let's just keep sinning so we can use up grace. He says, God forbid. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not, he says, don't you know that so many of us as were baptized or put into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There are a lot of Christians serving sin. More than, I'd say there's 90% of Christians out there serving sin. Now, they're saying the right words, they're going to church, maybe doing some religious looking and sounding things. But basically, if I went around this room and started with me, and I went table to table, person to person, and said, do you have any trouble with sin anymore in your life? And how many of you think, you know, hands would go up and say, none of that, you know. Don't even think about it anymore. See, the odds are if I went person to person, again, starting with me, everybody in this room's got some sin that so easily beset you. And the devil's got you believing that you're going to die before you'll ever have any victory over that. And the scripture says you are already dead to it. You say, well, I don't feel dead to it. It's because you don't know or believe that you're dead to it. All right, now let's keep reading. Some of you may not even read this or heard it this way, but here we go. For if we have been planted together, he said, in the likeness of death, likeness of his resurrection, we'll come back as well. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him. If something is crucified, it is dead. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, I'm going to do this. I don't have but a little bit of time, but I need a man up here. I saw a hand of some of you guys. Well, I think I'm a man. I'm not sure if I was. Not sure about it. All right, you're it. Come on. You're close. And I don't want to be. He hadn't done anything yet. You just know he's in trouble, right? Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I need to clear that table a little bit. Let's get up here on this table. Or which one? We'll do this table. Y'all just back up and clear a spot here for me. Okay, clear all this back. Just clear all that back. Now, I want you to lie down right there on that table. Okay, now we're going to have, let's pretend like we're having a wake here, okay? What's your name?
Carlos.
Carlos just died. It was nice knowing you, Carlos. Anyhow. All right, Carlos is laid out in somebody's house. He's dead. We're having a wake. Now, let's say, pretty big day for you, isn't it, Carlos? You never know what a day holds, do you? All right. Now, I don't know what Carlos's deal is. I don't even know Carlos and may never speak to him again, may never see him again, being he's dead and everything. Carlos is laying here. Now, close your eyes, okay? I'm not going to do anything to you. Most people that know me wouldn't believe that either. All right, Carlos is dead, okay? Now, if Carlos' deal is food or alcohol or women, let's just pick whatever it might be. And if it's women, if I paraded 100 naked women through this room, would it affect Carlos? Alcohol, we poured vodka, gin tonic, whatever, you know, Miller Lights, whatever his, you know, poured it all over him. He's dead, would it affect him? Food, if we pack food in his coffin, Twinkies, you know, whatever, Little Debbie cake rolls, that'd be mine. But whatever you put around a dead man, it doesn't affect him, does it? Why? He's dead. Now, see, the devil comes along and starts waving all this stuff at you and me going, hey, what about this? And you go, wow, that looks appealing. Now, see, if he's not dead, he opens his eyes and all this stuff starts happening. He's going to reach out and start grabbing things, you know, and well, I'll have some of that to eat and I'll have a drink of that or, you know, whatever. He's all of a sudden tempted because he's alive. Now, see, you're dead. You just don't know you're dead. And you don't live like you're dead. You don't believe you're dead. You just live like you're still alive to these things. Right? Now, how do you go from being alive to something to be dead to something? You just say, Father, I see all this coming. This is my temptation. This is my deal. But you say, the scripture says, and because I died when he died, I'm dead to this. I don't have to yield to this anymore. I can yield to you. And by faith, you say, I'm dead to it. All of a sudden, see, most of us have never experienced the power of this because we've never believed it's true and even tried it. And sometimes you just have to close your eyes and say, Father, I know what's coming. But you said I'm dead to this, and I'm going to act on that, yield myself to you, and now you've got to act and intervene and give me the power to walk away from this. And I'm telling you guys, if you'll try it, it's amazing what you can walk away from. Now see, we don't want to walk away because we enjoy all this stuff. We don't want to be dead to it. You feeling all right? All right, well, let's give Carlos a hand. He's a... Now, And by the way, I never understood why they call it a wake if the person's dead. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. All right, now let me keep reading here and keep these thoughts in your mind, okay? If we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he dies no more, death has no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves, you also, to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon yourselves, believe, just as if it's so. I'm dead to that. Now think about your sin and how many times you get clobbered by it. And here's, I'm telling you, don't try this for the rest of your life. Try it till 3 o'clock. If it's a thought, if it's an action, whatever it is, you get the temptation to do whatever it is that comes your way. Maybe try it for a 24-hour period and say, Father, if I'm dead to this, I want to see it. And when the temptation comes, you get in the situation, you say, okay, God, that should not have any impact on me. I'm going to stand here in faith. I'm going to flee from this and say, Father, I believe that I'm dead to it. I don't have to respond to it because a dead man can't respond to it anyway. He's dead. And then let God act in your life and powerfully help you overcome that situation and deliver you from that. And some of you look at me like, you don't know what you're talking about. Don't tell me until you try it. This stuff isn't in here for fun. It's either true or it's not, and the only way you're going to find out whether it's true or not is to, by faith, let him do his thing and do your part in it. So he said, likewise, reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. See, most of us going around just obeying whatever our body, what does that the Mountain Dew commercial say? Isn't that it? Obey your thirst. Isn't that it? 7-Up? Sprite? Whatever it is, it's some addicting drink. Obey your thirst. And see, our bodies are so geared. We have been feeding whatever it is our bodies want for so long. You know, your body says lust, it's sexual lust. I want that. Whatever you want, you can have it. Food, you want food, put it in. Whatever you want, you can have it. Shopping, you know, I was going to get a woman up here and just wave shoes overhead. Now, see, I'm not assuming new shoes. I'm sorry, new shoes. All of us have got something.
We'd have raised her from the dead.
Yeah. We'd have raised her from the dead, right? All of us have got something that takes us down. Everybody in this room. Don't live your life just obeying that. If you yield yourself to whatever your body says it wants, you know what? You're going to do whatever your body says. I'm talking about just physically. Well, I want this. I feel this. If it feels good, that's what I'm going to go do. And that's how we basically live. You never even think to stop and say, well, I don't have to do that. You don't even know you have the power to not do what your body says to do. So don't let sin reign or rule in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves or present yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, he says, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. There are a lot of people that say, well, I can sin. I'm telling you, you say you don't believe this stuff, you're living this every day. Christians who don't overcome sin live this way every day of their life. And they say, well, you know, I'm only human. And that's a lie. If you're only human, you're not a believer. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, everything's new. So you can't say you're only human if you're a Christian. That's a cop-out. So you're not only human. You say, well, I'm, you know, God understands. There's mercy and grace in time of need. And so you wake up, I wake up in the morning just assuming, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Got to use up this grace. And you're laughing, but guys, we're doing this. You're either living without sin or you're living under the power of sin every day of your life. And you've either been doing it up to now and you're going to continue to do it from now on, or you're going to say, you know what, enough of this. Now, if I choose to live this way, that's my choice. But I don't have to live this way, and there is power to overcome the power of sin in my life if I choose to exercise the faith to kick that power in. So you don't have to sin. And you shouldn't be sinning just to use up grace. That's not the point. That's what he's saying. I mean, that shouldn't be your rationale at all. He says, don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death, or look at the opposite of sin, or of obedience unto righteousness. Sin, and the other side of it is obedience. Sin leads to death, separation. Obedience leads to righteousness. Now, guys, you're going to suffer. Now, here are your options. If you yield to the flesh, you'll have pleasure now and pain for who knows how long. If you yield to the Spirit and do what God tells you to do, you're going to suffer now, but there's going to be joy and peace for a long time to come. I mean, there's all kinds of songs about this, trying to love two women, like, you know, all these things. Sometimes the pleasure ain't worth the pain. It's a long old grind, and it tires your mind, right? And we'll have special music to follow. They're writing these songs out of some sin experience. And you say, well, I kind of like my life the way it's going. Well, just keep it up. Sooner or later, you're going to wake up and go, you know what? That yield sign may be worth yielding because my way's not working. But remember, when you try to do it, you're not trying to do it in your own willpower. It's his power. And it's by faith. You say, God, you said this. You got to back me up now. I'm going to say no to this sin as though I'm dead to it because I am. But you're going to have to deliver me from this based on what your word says. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then of those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And you've heard this verse maybe all your life, but verse 23 in this context then says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What you get for sin is death. But what you get through Jesus, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you get the gift, guys, you don't just get the power to keep you out of hell and get you into heaven. You get the power to give you life and life to the full abundantly between here and heaven. Heaven's a great thing, but it's not just about heaven. It's about here. It's about now. It's about living the way he said we could live. But if you're going to live this way, you got to live by faith. And when you get hit with these temptations, you've got to yield to God's Spirit, his will for your life, and say no to some things in order to live a righteous life, which ends up here, it says, in holiness. Okay? So when you see a yield sign now, don't just yield to the oncoming traffic. Remember to yield to him.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
All right, let's pray and we'll go to work. And our Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these. Sometimes we read them, Lord, and we think it's such complicated stuff, but it's so simple. We complicate it by trying to explain a way that we can't do it instead of just seeing what it says and testing it by living by faith and seeing your power manifest in our lives. Father, I pray for me, for each of us, anybody listening to this message that's just given up and thinks, you know what, I'm not dead. I'm so alive, it's killing me. But that today they would realize they really are dead to sin. They just need to live that way and recognize that that's the truth. And let's see that sin really doesn't have to rule them, that you can rule. You can be Lord of our lives and even physically Lord. Not just things that we think in our heart, but see it manifest in the physical realm by the things that we either do that we didn't do or don't do that we used to do, Lord. Lord, teach us to apply this faith
and experience the power that's available to us when we yield to you and your spirit and your will. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.